Hi, good evening. I'm Carmina Constantino. Welcome to this episode of After the Fact, where we get to see things more clearly, where we get a better sense of the truth. So let's begin by dissecting the news. In a matter of months, the 2022 national elections will be upon us. But even before that happens, there's the campaign period. Before that, the filing of certificates of candidacy. And before that, the ongoing voter registration. All these as the pandemic continues to rage. In fact, the COVID crisis has forced the suspension of the registration process in areas that will be put under hard lockdown beginning August 6th, prompting some quarters to call for an extension. And the Commission on Elections, well, they have yet to tackle this. But should they? Be part of our discussion. Send us your questions and your comments on our YouTube live chat or tweet us using the hashtag ANCAfterTheFact. Joining us tonight, Philippine Commission on Elections spokesperson Director James Jimenez, and also with us, former COMELEC Commissioner and co-founder of Democratic Insights Group, Attorney Louis Tito Guia. Gentlemen, good evening to you and thank you for joining us tonight.
Good evening.
All right, so let me start off with Director James here. We're just a couple of months away before we see the filing of the certificates of candidacy. How would you describe where we're at right now in terms of the preps going into the national elections in 2022, Director?
Well, we're having a good start is what we are having, right? We're preparing for the several different portions of the electoral process where we are mostly in charge. I'm talking about the filing of certificates of candidacy, the campaigns, and actual election day, obviously. As for the rest of the preparations, these are really back office preparations. You know, the nuts and bolts of the election process, those are proceeding very well as well. Our election officers are already looking at different venues for voting with several very clear-cut guidelines in mind, taking into consideration the pandemic. Apart from that, the biggest thing really on our horizon is the end of voter registration, which is coming September 30, 2021.
We're going to talk about that more in a bit, but first I want to go to Attorney Guia now. Attorney, do you share the same assessment that they were off to a good start?
Well, I would, you know, I'm very happy for the very optimistic assessment that the COMELEC have right now. I mean, everyone would understand, of course, that things might not be as good as we want them to be because of the pandemic, and it has set back a lot of preparations, not only for civil society where I belong right now, but I'm very sure COMELEC also would have some issues as to their timeline because of the pandemic. I mean, all offices would have this problem. So the optimism shared by Director Jimenez in behalf of COMELEC would be a good sign for all of us to realize that we can hold the elections in May 2022. So that optimism, I hope, of course, would have to be with you know, the hard work that must go with it, of course, because it's not going to be the same as how elections were prepared the last time when there was no pandemic.
Yeah, talking about setbacks, you mentioned that a while ago, Attorney Guia. We're talking about the lockdown that's going to happen in a matter of days, August 6th up to the 20th, and that's going to force the registration process in some areas to be temporarily suspended. Now, there are talks. There are calls for an extension. Where are you in that discussion? Has it even been tabled, Director Jimenez? Are you even considering talking about extending the voter registration?
Well, that's the funny thing about extension of voter registration is that 2 days after we started voter registration, that was already the panawagan of the people, no? Na magkaroon ng voter ng extension. So it's never been far from our discussions. Now, with regard to the ECQ, yes, we have discussed it informally. There will be an unbanked session tomorrow. That's the last before the actual lockdown sets in. So there might still be a chance that be part of the agenda in terms of extension. However, I have to say, it is unlikely that there will be an extension at this time.
Why do you say so?
Yeah, drawing from earlier conversations with commissioners, with the career officials who run the actual registration process, there is a significant pushback to the idea of extension. For the most part, it's because it will negatively affect our timelines. Commissioner Gia already mentioned that the pandemic has had a negative effect as well on these timelines. Obviously, a lot of deadlines have sort of been extended or moved a little bit to accommodate various things. If we do this extension for voter registration, then we're pushing a huge chunk of the work back even further. And remember, we are at a very critical point. The end of voter registration is exactly the day before the start of the filing of certificates of candidacy. And that means when we start filing the COCs, that means work must have already begun on finalizing the book of voters. And so if you extend voter registration further, then you're also extending the time of preparation needed for the finalization of the list of voters, which has many downstream effects, not the least of which is that it will affect how soon we know how many ballots we need to print. Mm-hmm. If we don't know how many ballots we need to print, then we can't start printing. So there are a lot of downstream effects that we think that many in the COMELEC believe would weigh against an extension. Of course,
you're talking about the extension in terms of days, but what about extending it in terms of hours? Can that be done?
Well, we could do that. We could do that, and certainly that's been done before. But we're also weighing the fact that we are at the last 2 months of voter registration, and in the last 2 months of voter registration, the behavior of registrants really changed. They swarm the COMELEC. They come at 4 a.m. and stay all night, and stay all morning. In fact. In the meantime, the capacity of the office doesn't really change. Mm. We have the same number of machines there. We have the same number of people working on the same protocols. Basically, each registration process of each individual being shortened only so much. And we can fit in only so much, right? And if we extend voter registration indefinitely in terms of hours, then that will simply bring more people in. That will pack more people in without necessarily expanding the capacity of the commission.
Let's get the sense of Attorney Gia here. Attorney Gia, you're a former insider here. So what do you say about this? How do you make sense of it? Can it be done?
Well, it can be done, but it's going to be very, very tight. And henceforth, all activities of COMELEC would have to be a bit more perfect than it would be. So a deadline of September 30 gives COMELEC much convenience in adjusting to, let's say, possible errors or glitches so that they can have time to fix it. And if you extend it a bit further, then that convenience might dissipate, no? But it is something, though, that COMELEC needs to really discuss, because our situation right now is not the same as before. We did not anticipate that the lockdown would happen, for the next 2 weeks from now. That was not anticipated when the deadline was set in September 30. So, hindi siya mahirap sa mga butante. No? If I take the side of the voters, that will be very difficult. So, pwede siguro it might be good for COMELEC to maybe spend some time thinking about it. Tingin ko naman may solution sa mga problema, try to find a way by which that can be accommodated, because I think it's justified that there are calls like that. But we do understand, of course, that it's going the window of opportunity for COMELEC to check the list and to be sure that the system is okay would of course become smaller.
But when you Attorney Gia, when you speak of solutions, though, what do you have in mind?
No. Ibig sabihin yung timeline nila for the preparation, let's say in finalizing the book of voters, in finalizing the configuration of the precinct. You know, the number of voters is basic in election preparation, because that's the one that will determine how many polling places would you organize, how many teachers will you hire, how many supplies will you procure. So ang daming dependencies yan actually, no? That's the reality. Now, well, of course, elections before or the filing of certificate of candidacies before or deadline of registration used to be maybe January, during at the time when we had the manual process, or even it was even I think set in November or December, the first time that automated election was organized at nakaraos naman, but it's going to be very tight, no? And at the very least, this needs to be discussed, and it might be good for COMELEC to be sharing its discussion and its logic, its decision, and the reason for its decision to the public so that they would understand. No, maybe the pandemic might be or the lockdown might be an opportunity for COMELEC to be thinking about this and sharing what its thinking would be to the public so that they would understand. Malay nyo, we will have a way by which we can accommodate everyone by September.
Here's the thing, though, gentlemen. You speak of reality, and the reality is the COMELEC is one of those institutions that we have that really is not synonymous to dynamism for many factors, right? You're laughing, Director James, and I guess it's because you've been the longest sitting spokesperson there at the COMELEC, so you would know how dynamism is not part of the culture of COMELEC. So how do you then reconcile that with responding to the reality that you're facing now, which is this raging pandemic, Director?
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that we're not dynamic, considering that just during this last registration cycle, we were able to produce two online solutions for voter registration to make it easy. So I guess there is some sort of dynamism there. But leaving that aside, let's talk about realities. The reality is we've already exceeded the targets for the coming elections. We've already exceeded the expectations that we set way back in September, right? September actually of last year. All right, so that's one reality. The other reality is that this lockdown affects 2 weeks in NCR alone, which means that everywhere else where it's not already ECQ, registration will continue, right? Number three, the reality is also we've already set up several satellite registration centers that are just ready to go at a moment's notice once the lockdown ends. So there is a lot of this reality on the side of no extension as well, right? I totally appreciate what Commissioner Gia is pointing out. It's very true. Before automation, there was a lot more time for voter registration, obviously, and certainly the COMELEC can do with a huge dose of sensitivity for the plight of the voters. But given the parameters of what we're operating against, there has to be a point where we make that decision. I also agree with Commissioner Gia that decision has to be explained to the public. It shouldn't be confined in a piece of paper and said, you know, just take this as it is. It has to be explained. But again, a decision has to be made, and the COMELEC needs to make that decision.
Okay. Attorney Gia, your reaction to that?
Well, yes, a COMELEC has to make a decision, and you made some point about COMELEC's lack of dynamism, which is a perception, I think, Director James, whether it's real or not. I think that is something that COMELEC might need to tell the public also, that it's a bit more dynamic, but it has to show it. Because I think the stake at the election is something that even civil society would want to share. So it might be good for COMELEC to be sharing, you know, the responsibility of seeing this election through with more interested civil society groups, even the private sectors, the media, by, you know, parang ang dating, we should be all in this together. Uh-huh. The problem is actually recognized by everyone. Wala naman nagsasabi na bahala ka na COMELEC. I think everyone knows that COMELEC will have a big task ahead, bigger than before, but the civil society, the media, and all other sectors are looking for avenues by which they can help, and I think it's good for COMELEC to use this enthusiasm by the private sector to see this thing through. We have good systems people from the private sector who might have some thoughts or two on how things can be better, perhaps within the existing limitations that we have.
So again, Attorney Guia, being a former insider, tell us, is there space? Is there some sort of wiggle room, knowing how you know the institution, for more of this dynamism to take place?
Yes, I would like to think so. I have encountered a lot of, especially field officials, election officers, provincial election supervisors, who have on their own came up with some initiatives that would, you know, draw out voters. Sometimes, napakaganda. When I was there, no, you will be surprised with some of our field people who would undertake initiatives to draw registrants in at. So there's innate dynamism within the institution amongst many officials of COMELEC, especially those in the field. And tama si Director Jimenez, to just formalize all of these things, perhaps decisions have to be made, no? But we have to look at the reality also. But it's a question of balancing interests here.
The thing is, gentlemen, the dynamism stops where the election law starts. I mean, it's very clear what the law states, right? That there has to be the filing of certificates of candidacy by this day, ends on this day, election period on this day, ends on this day, and so on and so forth. So with this whole pandemic now sort of throwing everything in disarray, the way we look at things, I want to talk about, you know, reforms in terms of seeing all these parameters. Are these now, should the public, or should the COMELEC for that matter, still see these as parameters, or is it about time, Attorney Guia, that, you know, this should be seen as sort of part of the box that is really not letting the COMELEC again pursue that kind of dynamism that the public wants to see, because nga nakahon na eh, na. Because yun naman talaga ang sinasabi ng batas. So, Attorney Guia, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, yes, COMELEC does not make election laws. It implements and executes election laws. So it operates within the parameters of the law. No? And it's very difficult to go beyond the law because, you know, election is very, you know, masyadong nag-aawa yung iba. You cannot make COMELEC violate the law because sasabihin papanin ka. So the only protection COMELEC has actually is the law, the election laws in place. Be that as it may, no, the ideal election legal framework would be that one which would give enough flexibility for election management body to adjust to situations such as what we have. So when the pandemic started last year, it would have been more ideal earlier on that certain reforms that were actually, some of them were already submitted to Congress last year, no, para ipasa yung early voting. There are a lot of things that can make COMELEC flexible in its execution of election laws as early as last year, no, because COMELEC, I think, was telling Congress at that time that if ever you have to make a decision or pass a law, it has to be early or last year yon para makapaghanda naman yung COMELEC. So right now, it's a difficult situation than it was last year. In countries like Singapore, I think they had to make adjustment in their legal framework, even if that adjustment were to apply only in the election that will be done within the pandemic, no? May sunset provision. Para lang makaraos, quote unquote.
Yeah.
So those are the things that should have been done last year. No? And I think Congress was just busy, perhaps, of other things. Than, you know, looking at making sure that the election in 2022 would be safe and credible. But right now, there are some things that it's COMELEC who should be deciding, like the decision to advance the filing of certificate of candidacy to October is something that COMELEC decided on and it has flexibility in deciding that the deadline for the last day for application for registration is something that COMELEC is empowered to adjust also because of the automated election law. So yun yung merong mga areas na pwedeng maging flexible pa rin ng COMELEC, but by and large COMELEC operates within its within the framework of law that it is in.
And every single time election season comes along, Director Jimenez, we talk about this. And it's really up to Congress, right? But why do you think, and I just want to get your thoughts on this, why do you think they haven't worked on it?
That's a tricky question. I mean, I don't want to go the usual route by saying that no one is going to work against their self-interest, right? I mean, I would like to think that our politicians and our leaders are able to rise above that. So I suppose what Commissioner Diaz said, maybe they're just too busy with other things. And I don't imagine that a little benefit would be unwelcome for them. So bottom
but
line.
But isn't it about time, Attorney Gia, that they're not that busy to work on this? I mean, every single election season, this comes up.
Well, from what I remember, they were busy with other things. And that's why you're online right now.
But, okay, so in terms of reforms, right, maybe we're just getting ahead of ourselves here because, again, maybe they're just too busy to work on reforms. But I want to get a sense, a preview of how it's going to look like come May 2022. How is it going to look like? Is it going to be different because of this pandemic?
Sir, may I?
Go ahead.
All right. So first of all, remember when you were talking about the box that COMELEC finds itself in? The pandemic.
Your words, not mine.
Yeah, sure. Okay. It's a box. Yeah. When the pandemic started, that was my greatest hope, that the pandemic would knock those walls down, simply because we were existing in exigent times, right?
Yeah.
But it turns out that it's not that way, that these walls still define what we can do now, right? They still define what we can do. And when we try to move beyond them, we need to jury-rig something. You know, it's almost Rube Goldberg-age. So it's very frustrating. It can be very frustrating, especially for me. I don't have the institutional coldness or neutrality that the COMELEC has to have. I tend to shoot my mouth off. but the bottom line is this. There have been some changes made on the ground, but, and this is a huge caveat, but within what the law already allows, right? So it is a very make-do situation, right? There could have been many solutions, such as postal voting, okay? Even today, people ask me, is COMELEC considering postal voting? Hell yes, we have been considering that long ago. We started considering that May 2020, right? But see, that needs a law to make it happen.
Exactly.
And therefore, no law won't happen, right? Commissioner Gia mentioned early voting. Thankfully, that has recently gotten some traction, and we hope that we can get it out soon, because even if we were to get it out, there would still be a question of, do we have time to implement that law? Hmm. In the past, Congress has passed laws too late for implementation, and we just skipped the election that was supposed to be affected by it. So again, these are these limitations. So what you're going to see in the elections next year is a cobbled together solution that is basically representing everything we can do within the existing framework. And that might be a little depressing, but at the very least, we've seen it work in Palawan, right? In Palawan, we were able to take these jury-rigged solutions and make them work,
By this time though, are you running scenarios? Are you running models?
Certainly. We started with Palawan. We had a long back and forth with the health authorities, IATF included, until we finally designed a system that worked within existing laws, that didn't need much congressional action, but worked, like the establishment of isolation polling places, like the use of more of a higher level of health protocols within the polling places. And then a lot needs a lot more work, right? In Palawan, we only had less than 500,000 voters. But obviously in 2022, we're gonna have 60 to 61 million voters. Now that changes the game a bit, right?
Yeah. And a lot, I would say.
A lot, you're right, okay. And one of the changes is really the number of people that are coming into the election, into the polling place on election day. You're looking at polling precinct sizes of 800 to 1,000. That's still a lot of people. And we don't have the legal authority to establish two election days. So what do? Right now we are tending towards extending the voting hours. But that causes its own complications. We're gonna need more rooms, more precincts, essentially. We're gonna need more equipment. We're therefore gonna need three times as much teachers. And we're gonna need people to come in a different way. Prior to the pandemic, voting patterns looked really like a wave, right? Like a wave. People come in waves. They come, a lot of them come at 6 a.m, then followed by a long stretch of no one coming in, and then around noon, dadagsayan. But this cannot remain for these elections. If you have 12 hours of voting and they still come in this wave pattern, then that 12 hours is gonna be useless. You're gonna have to find ways to make sure that they come steadily throughout the day. Otherwise, you're never going to be able to finish. So again, there are a lot of things, as Commissioner Guia said, that COMELEC can do. And certainly we will need the help of other stakeholders. Mm-hmm. We're not blind to that necessity. In fact, just to point it out, for this registration, there are more stakeholder groups active now and helping in calling people to register than there ever was. Last count, I remember 6 groups of young people, of professionals. There's one even called, that Commissioner Guia might be familiar with, Election Coalition 2021, Election 2021 Coalition. And they're doing yeoman's work. They're doing really good work. And we see that this model will help us immensely when we start talking about get out the vote campaigns and running the elections in general.
Okay, so that's a preview right there coming from COMELEC director, spokesperson, Director James Jimenez, of how it might look like come Election Day 2022. We're going to get the other side. We're going to get Attorney Guia's scenario, a preview of what he thinks might happen come Election Day next year when we return after this break. You're watching After the Fact here on ANC. Stay with us. We're back. You're still watching After the Fact here on ANC, and still with us, former COMELEC Commissioner Louis Tito Guia and COMELEC spokesperson Director James Jimenez. Let's start off with the with Attorney Guia. Now, before we went into the break, spokesperson Jimenez there giving us a preview of what he thinks may happen come Election 2022. A lot of hard work coming from the COMELEC stakeholders, he says, just to make it happen. What about you? What's your scenario?
Well, first and foremost, what cannot be avoided is that, I've felt this since I joined Election 2022 Coalition. It's a coalition that, encourages voters to register and to vote. Now, napaka-enthusiastic ng mga kabataan. Director Jimenez is right that there are more early activism on election now than there ever was before. And probably this is because of the pandemic. So I see more active, especially youth groups, doing election work next year. So isa yan, no? Now, the other prognosis that I have would depend, of course, on many things. Number one, are we going to have 50% vaccination rate by December? Okay. Is that something, is that a target that is achievable? If we can have that by December, that means that we can have maybe 60% by April. No, I know I might be dreaming, but those are the things that will make me really feel comfortable about our elections being safe, credible, and meaningful. And that would also help in COMELEC, help COMELEC in its preparation for the election. As you know, preparing for election is such a huge logistical activity. No? Training a quarter of a million Board of Election inspectors or electoral boards is a challenge. Usually when you have training, you have the machines there demonstrating how it works, make them touch the machine, you know, at least get a feel of it in person, but that's not going to happen right now.
Is it Is it not going to happen?
I hope it does. I hope it will.
Director.
In many areas because of the restrictions on training.
Yeah, hang on. Let me just clarify that. Is that not going to happen at all this time around, Director?
Director Jimenez.
Well, it's certainly not going to happen the way it happened before. There are workarounds. For example, for the voter, for the VCM demos that we routinely run, a lot of it is going to be blended, right? There's going to be an online component. There'll be some in-person audiences. But again, not like before. Obviously, when... before, it was really the more the merrier in the audience. But now that's not going to be the case.
Okay. Let's go back to Attorney Guia. You were saying. So I
was actually speaking about training those who will, you know, man the polling places and elections. So that's the teachers themselves. So that's a very important component of election preparation, preparing your people who would actually operate the machine. The logistics, the preparations, everything is actually or have been traditionally done with people, a lot of people being there. You know, crowd drawer talaga election. So the adjustment that COMELEC would have to be made is something that would be very challenging, actually. But hopefully, if we have enough, you know, vaccines, then the danger of this not happening would be reduced substantially. So on election day, let me give an example. Indonesia had its regional election. It's actually local election. It's nationwide. They have about 150 million registered voters. And they have a good turnout. They had the regional election. They held their election manually as it was, as it has ever been. They just introduced, you know, the usual protocols, face shield, face mask, social distancing, and they were able to hold elections. The elections did not produce a surge as was what was feared by many, no, at that time that they had it in October. So palagay ko pwede naman mangyari yan ganun. Sumunod lang yung taong bayan at proper yung kwan. And I think it's also important, this is prescriptive, hindi ito yung kwan, pero it's also important to, for let's say election officers to be talking to the barangay. Yung sinasabi ni Director James Jimenez that you might want to schedule voting. And you cannot impose that. You cannot have a rule to say yung letter A dapat alas 7. But you can certainly ask maybe barangay leaders to help you do it. Hmm. Baka it might work. So there are a lot of things that can happen actually. I hope that will happen.
Director.
Yeah.
Are you working on that, forging alliances? And as a follow-up to that, you know, is there such a thing as too many stakeholders when you talk about big elections like this in the time of a pandemic?
I think the stakeholders will have to find their own tasks. They will be assigned to certain tasks. They can't be all doing the same thing. For example, in terms of drafting the rules for the new campaign procedures, we're already partnering with groups like the ILG, with the DOH, obviously, because we're all government agencies. But we're also reaching out to other groups. Lente, for example, will have a voice in this, obviously, and others even more. So PPCRV, of course, I should mention, and all of the other citizen advocacies that we're already working with. But along, on different levels, like on the ground, in actual execution, obviously, we're going to have to talk to the barangays more. And we're already laying the groundwork for that. Again, each of the people who will be helping, each stakeholder group that will be helping at a specific task. Mm-hmm. And that way, we're avoiding the too many cooks problem. Because we have one direction and the implementation must be agreed upon by all.
Okay, too many cooks, but what about too many poll watchers? Is that going to be a problem, Attorney Guia?
Well, it has been a problem before, but of course, at the end of the day, what we want from an election, of course, is that the elected, those who will be elected, would have, you know, legitimacy. In other words, people believe that the election was honest. People that believe that the election expressed the will, the true will of the people. And it would, of course, help if the elections were transparent by having stakeholders or maybe more monitors watching the election. But of course, there will be some limitations there, especially because of the pandemic and because of the requirement of, you know, distancing. And this would be a good challenge. But what about probably putting some cameras in certain polling places?
Is that something that you're looking at, Director?
We are looking at that. But, you know, it gets really prohibitive really quickly. There must be a way of actually deciding which precincts you're going to put cameras in, because you're talking about 115,000 precincts. And there's also the fear, on the other hand, that if you put cameras in a handful of precincts, but not all, then why do it at all? Because, you know.
Tapos, Attorney Guia, you're talking about, you're going to talk about internet connection here, right?
Well, if you cannot go live, that's a limitation, but you can at least record on site. I mean, you know, having an eye in every precinct would, of course, give, you know, or at least prevent people who might be thinking of doing some fishy business at the polling places to not do it anymore. You know, well, it's going to be costly. It's going to, you know, take a lot of toll, not only on COMELEC, but on, you know, election monitors as well. But, you know, perhaps that's something that we can challenge the business community for. I mean, they have to invest in good politics, in good elections. That has happened before. We have a history of you know, private sector churning in some contributions to make the elections work for the people. So I mean, but of course it would have to, well, just to say this, I came from COMELEC, but it has to be COMELEC who would, you know, do a good job on stakeholders management. It would have to make itself, you know, something that the private sector would want to partner with, in other words, because that's important. And of course, at the end of the day, it would be COMELEC who would be deciding what role each groups would take. I mean, that's basically stakeholders management, and many election management bodies in the world would have a department primarily for stakeholder management. The important thing is that, you know, the election, it's not just holding the election, iparaos mo yon. No, the election should be able to produce something like yung nanalo, legitimate. Uh-huh. Na talagang halal ng bayan yan. Yung ganun yung importante. Uh-huh. Ano yung kwan? What are the criteria there? First and foremost, enough number of people are able to vote. No? Hindi yung they were prevented from voting. So registration is important and turnout is, I think, important as well. Second, of course, the process itself. It's not enough that COMELEC believes that the process is okay. The public should believe, likewise, that the process is okay. No, so transparency will help a lot, and maybe public communication, as Director James Jimenez have been working on for decades. James, or tatlong dekada ka na ata, eh, o dalawang dekada.
Wait, there's one important thing that I want to talk about, and it's also going to shape how the elections will be come 2022. And we're talking about how this campaign, the campaign for the votes, is going to shape up. How will it look like? And Attorney Guia, what are your concerns about the possible disinformation and misinformation that might come up? Or do you think that that's a foregone conclusion, that that's going to happen? and what might that the effect of that be on our voters? Attorney Gia.
Well, unfortunately, I think the prediction of some realistic, analysts would say that it's going to be happen, certainly. No, so it's just a question of how, let's say, the election management body COMELEC and perhaps the media and civil society can address issue of disinformation. You know, I would like to take the point of view of a voter of voters in this regard. No, election is about choice by the it's about the power of the voters to choose. No, and they can only choose if they have sufficient information, sufficient truthful information. If they are denied sufficient truthful information, what use is it for them to vote kung hindi sufficient yung information? They'll just be used by people who might have better resources in reaching them, or who might have been favored probably by the circumstances of wealth, geography, to reach them. And that's why it's important to come up with a program to make sure that information reaches all, possibly all voters. No? So that becomes a challenge in a pandemic.
Right.
Because when you say you will just do it online or use maybe the tri-media, well, not everybody would have access to them. But again, I have no ready answer for that actually at this point. So ito yung mga bubunuin dapat. We still have time actually.
Yeah.
But that's the problem. I mean, it's not a kampanya lang yan, hindi yan importante. I think it is one of the most important thing that you would look for in an election, informed electorate.
Director Jimenez, you've seen how it is out there. Yeah. It's like an alternate universe that's happening online, right? So you've got your work cut out for you.
Yeah.
How are you going to address this?
Just to circle back to your question, is misinformation going to happen? It's not. It's not going to happen because it's already happening, right? It's already happening. just this morning, I was told that some groups had been circulating the rumor on Facebook that they need a national ID in order to exercise their right to vote. That if you don't have a national ID, don't even try. There's another bit of misinformation saying that you need to be vaccinated in order to vote. Go on the internet, go on any video sharing site, and you'll find a video that says this candidate or that candidate will be disqualified by the COMELEC with my face on there. So, it's already happening. This information is happening. It is part of the landscape. And there's
so two, what are you doing to combat?
It's very needful for this. First, there must be legislation to give COMELEC or anyone in the same position the authority to go after these people. Because obviously, just from the looks of it, just from on the face of it, they're not technically violating any law, right? But there has to be changes in that regard.
Second, sorry to cut you there, Director, but Attorney Gia, I just have to ask you, legislation coming from the very people who will benefit from this disinformation and misinformation? Are you hopeful?
Well, now, Carmina, they can also be victims of disinformation. So they have to realize that, and it is something that needs to be fixed, really. And there are advocates within Congress. Apparently, there might not be enough because it hasn't been passed yet. There were, proposals on addressing disinformation. There were hearings, I believe, already, but, it has not gone forward. So importante ito. And again, we operate under the under Republic Act 9006, yung pinasa nung 2001. That is the campaign law that we have, and it did not envision campaigns that will happen online, or it did not foresee that there will be social media. So mahirap eh, parang COMELEC is really trying to tread the gray area of the law just so that it can at least address this issue. So isang tinitingnan ng COMELEC dyan, I think, are the costs that will be incurred by people advertising formally, officially in social media. But then again, maraming porous pa rin yon. It's not going to really solve the problem. So truth is, I think, the only, promoting truth is the only solution to disinformation.
Right. And it, Carmina, if I may.
Go ahead.
You said, are we hopeful? I guess there is some worry, because this has been in front of them for the longest time. So nothing yet, no laws coming out yet. But that's precisely the point of elections. With elections, you can put people in there who are of a different bent, who are made of different stuff. And that's the eternal hope of elections. That's why we keep fighting for elections to happen.
Mm. So, and with that, Director James Jimenez of the COMELEC, the longest sitting spokesperson there at the COMELEC, and Attorney Louis Tito Guia, their former COMELEC insider, former COMELEC commissioner, and now co-founder of Democratic Insights. Thank you so much for joining us today, gentlemen. You keep safe. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
and before we go, calls to extend the voter registration period here in the Philippines gain more traction in light of the upcoming hard lockdown in Metro Manila. Senator Rizzo Antivero says an extension of at least 2 more weeks is logical, since voter registration will be suspended for several days during ECQ. For the College Editors Guild of the Philippines, not extending the voter registration period would leave thousands, if not millions, of future voters unable to exercise their right to suffrage. Online social media users also say an extension is needed, since a lot of people were set to register this August, if not for the lockdowns. And other netizens claim COMELEC cannot rely on old procedures amid the extraordinary times. And that'll do it for tonight. I'm Carmina Constantino. Watch this episode again on iWantTFC or listen to our podcast on Spotify. For recaps and exclusive content, subscribe to the ANC YouTube channel and catch up with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. See you again next time after the fact. Keep safe.